Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I am one of your hosts, Sam Rainer, and I have with me Tom Rainer, my father. And
I told you a dad joke and you didn't laugh.
Well, okay, we're both fathers, and you are my senior when it comes to fatherhood by about, 40 years. Yes, 40 years. And because that's how old I am.
Wait a minute. You're not saying I'm 40 years older than you are. That'd make me 80.
No, but you know, you've been a dad for 40 years. Right. But you're 25 years older than me.
Correct.
And boy, that math is kind of messing with my head right now.
I was 24 when you were born.
That's right. You would have been. That's right. 24 when I was born. Well, I'll laugh at the funny dad jokes. I just didn't find it all that funny.
Okay. Continue on, Sam.
We've got a great episode. We have Greg Atkinson with us here. He's the founder of Worship Impressions, and he's also the founder of the First Impressions Conference, which we're really excited about. He's an author, leadership coach, consultant, member of the Forbes Coaching Council. He's worked with churches of all stages and sizes, including some of the largest and fastest growing churches in the country. And he's worked with businesses, nonprofits, all sorts of organizations. By the way, one of my favorite books by Greg Atkinson is The Secrets of a Secret Shopper book. You know why it's my favorite?
I know why it's your favorite. I bet Greg knows why it's your favorite too.
It's because Rainer Publishing published it. He's got a couple of good books out there. We'll make sure we put them in the show notes. But yeah, the one that my company published is my favorite. It may not be your, I don't know, Greg, but I don't know if it's your favorite or not. But,
my favorite.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad to know it's your favorite too. And you also want to check out this First Impressions conference that he's got coming up. Dad, you're a part of this, I believe.
I am.
So we're excited to partner with him on it. Navigating a New Season is the name of the conference. It will be streaming live November 4th through the 6th. And we'll make sure we put a link down there in the show notes so that you guys can sign up for it. Definitely.
From the release date of this, you have about a month.
Yeah, plenty of time. Yeah. So, but we want to make sure that people go ahead and get it on your calendar because this is something you don't want to miss.
Go in and sign up for it.
Yeah. Sign up, get on your calendar, whatever you got to do. And we're going to talk to Greg here in just a second about first impressions, particularly what do you do about the guest experience, in this pandemic sort of environment. But before we do, got to talk about our sponsor, Southeastern Seminary. They exist to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. They offer 40 different degree programs, including this 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization that we partner with them on. Go check them out, sebts.edu. Wonderful organization, top seminary. Worth your time if you're interested in learning more about them or going to seminary. So sebts.edu, where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there.
There's a good possibility. We have been offering through Southeastern, the Church Future Indicator, that free tool, but there's a good possibility there. The new ebook may be out by this time. So it'll be one of the two.
You know what? Just keep going to sebts.edu. Checking it out. You just go there every day. See what's new there. That whatever it is, whatever we're offering through them.
Greg, let us welcome you to the podcast. We're glad to have you here. Grateful for your ministry, and you told us that you've been a little bit under the weather yesterday. So we're glad you made it today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Honored.
Good. Well, we're going to talk to you about a subject that's always fascinating. The church guest experience, but particularly in this weird world that we're in. 2020 used to refer to vision. Now it refers to everything going wrong. So we're going to talk to you about it. And Sam, I'm going to let you lead on this interview, and then I'm going to jump in as well.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, you and I, we go back a little ways. We've been acquaintances now for quite some time through the church world and church leadership world. You tend to focus a lot on the church guest experience. What changes are you seeing in this area due to the pandemic?
Man, a lot. This year has been a year of learning, a year of growth, a year of pain for so many pastors and church leaders, a year of struggle. And then honestly, you hear so many pastors and church staff saying they've never been busier. It's been a challenging year, but I think the biggest thing that I have been honing in on, and I heard Larry Osborne was the first to say this, and then I just keep seeing it echoed everywhere, is even though we used to always say it's not just about Sunday, I fear that what one of our learnings over the course of this past year was, were we a little too building centric? Were we too focused on the buildings? I have been coaching church planners since 2009, and I used to always tell them that, you know, hey, if you're meeting in a school or a movie theater or a cafeteria, be glad, because you don't have to worry about people getting the building confused with church, and we're going to church today, and all the stuff that so many people struggle with, that mindset. And I would say, be excited. I was actually talking to a church planner yesterday that's speaking at the First Impressions Conference, and they have for over a decade been meeting in a high school, and they grew to over, I think, 1,400 people in a high school, and they are just now getting a building for the first time in over a decade. And I said, you want to carry that same mentality that you've had the whole time you've been portable into this building. But for so many people that were not able, due to restrictions and quarantine and all of that, not able to meet in their building, it was a huge shakeup where we had to go back and look at our mission and our theology and what we really believe and how does it impact us? How do we do ministry? How do we exist? Why do we exist? And what do we do Monday through Saturday and including Sunday when we can't enter into a physical church space?
That's fascinating. You know, it's something I know we've struggled with as a church is just, well, in our case, and I know this is not everybody's case, most of our children and students have come back. Most of our adults have not. And finding volunteers who are willing to be part of the hospitality ministry has been a struggle for us. Those that are doing it are doing a wonderful job. But, you know, there's some that were part of it that just, they have health concerns and they just can't be there. And they certainly don't want to be the person at the front door, you know, meeting everybody. So it's your idea of, you know, building centric and, you know, have we gone too far that way? I think these are good questions. So what does hospitality look like now?
And I got to jump in, Sam, since
Your name is on the podcast, so it's yeah, certainly warranted. Yeah.
But before Greg answers the question, I want to give a little bit of background. I am on the welcome team at our church, which is really weird because I'm the consummate introvert. And your younger brother, my pastor in Spring Hill, Tennessee, put me there, I think for two reasons. One, to get me out of my shell, and two, just to pick on me because of me picking on him all of these years. So here I am on the welcome team, and I'm looking at things so differently. All of our welcome team has masks, even though most of the attenders do not. Our welcome team is not shaking hands during this season. Our welcome team is pointing people to a worship center where they can telling them how we're social distancing, even though there's signs that are very, very clear there. So that's what I'm going to ask Greg a question in just a minute, but I just want to give that caveat. And Amy, can we make a pivot? I know you don't have a choice when I said, can we, but the first five commenters that will just simply say, I love the interview with Greg Atkinson, go to churchanswers.com and go to this particular podcast, the Church Guest Experience, and the first five who say, I love the interview with Greg Atkinson, let's send them a copy of The Secrets of a Secret Shopper. Okay? Let's send it to awesome. Them. You got it? All right.
Yeah, I like that idea because, you know, Rainer Publishing put it out. So thanks, Dad, for buying all those books and sending them out to
you. Would not believe the comments and the emails I get from people all over the world. I have looked up Secrets of a Secret Shopper in the UK, in Canada, in Australia, and I'm reading comments through. I mean, they love it. And I remember when we pitched the idea, Sam emailed Tom, his dad, and said, what do you think? And he said, looks like a home run. And I thought, well, if Tom's on board, then this is going to be a good thing.
It's a great thing.
I have got responses and emails and messages from people all over Because, you know, the heart behind it when I wrote it is I was talking to Sam and I said, you know, as much as people would love to bring in an outside consultant, most churches in North America are 200 people or less, and they just can't afford it. They can't afford to fly me in and put me up and pay for my fee and have me do a secret shopper. So I said, what if I just write it all down in a book and tell them what to look for and they can do their own? And they could pay $10 as opposed to thousands, and it was just something for the kingdom. But it's been a great resource to people as they go through their church with new eyes to look at what we're talking about, the church guest experience.
So what does this hospitality look like in this new season, the 2020 plague?
Yeah, it's a lot of like what you talked about with your welcome team. Yeah, I will say this. This is important to me because I've done a lot of webinars and a lot of podcasts since March talking about this kind of thing. And one of the things I'm always careful to point out, because I know we have a lot of pastors that listen, and I want them to know that when somebody is not ready to come back or is not ready to shake hands or is not ready to serve, it's not a matter of they don't have enough faith or they're not committed, they're not a part of the core. It's nothing like that. I have not been to church since March 7th and 8th. That was the last time I was doing a consulting with a church in Baltimore, March 7th and 8th. That's the last time I physically walked into a church. My mom hasn't been in a long time because she has breast cancer and has been through chemotherapy, and her immune system is depleted. So as committed as she is and as core as she is to her church, she can't go back because she's been through chemo and she has no immune system. I have two kids that have compromised immune system. They can't go back. A lot of people that have kept up with my journey know that last fall, a year ago, last November, I was at the Mayo Clinic in New York. I spent Thanksgiving at the Mayo Clinic and have my own health issues. And so as much as I love my church, as much as I'm committed to my church and am plugged in and serve at my church, I can't go back. I've had opportunities to do consulting and secret shoppers and travel, and I just have not got on the airplane. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable traveling because if I get it, I could get really, really sick. And it's the same way with my mom, who's been through breast cancer and radiation and surgery and chemo. And so it looks different. And that means, you know, the average church across America, and Barna shows this, and Gluster shows this, and Lifeway, and all these people that are doing surveys, is only about 30% of the congregation has come back. They say between 20 and 40% of the typical congregation has come back. So about 30%, which means you're missing 70%. That's a large chunk of people, regardless of what size church you are, whether you're 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. And when you look across the board at only 30% returning, that includes volunteers. So like both of you guys were saying, that means you're going to have a depleted greeter team and a depleted parking team and less ushers and so many less people filling positions. And so you have to think through, can we pull off such and such like we used to? Can we do children's ministry to the level that we used to? Or do we need to change the way we divide the ages and the classrooms? And are we even ready for children's ministry yet? And then how do we need to structure our services? And are we leaving enough time in between services to clean and to disinfect and to wipe down surfaces? When you talk about what does hospitality look like now, there are teams that exist now that didn't exist before. And that's people that that clean in between services. We used to clean on Saturday. Most churches would have their churches clean over the weekend, and it was fresh for Sunday, and it would go all Sunday morning long with multiple services, and then it would get clean later in the week before like Wednesday. But now churches are cleaning in between each and every service, and these are positions that didn't exist before. So it looks very different. It does look different when you see a lot of people wearing mask and you have to smile with your eyes and you can't see their face. That's a very unique. It reminds me of pictures and images I've seen for years from Asia of people walking around wearing masks through the air quality. And so I like the big signs. You see people holding up the signs that say, I'm smiling under this mask. Anything we can do to let people know we still love them, we still care about them. And it's the reason that we're wearing our mask as volunteers and staff is because we care about them and we don't want to spread anything. But it looks very different right now.
We're recording this, and we're all just going to give you the exact date we're recording it, September 23rd, so you can have a reference point. I know that it'll be released in October. Just got this information from Blue. The percentage of churches that have over 60% of their pre-COVID attended return. Now listen to this, the percentage that have over 60% is less than 8%. Did you follow that? Fewer than 1 out of 10 churches have had 60% or more return. So that we get a lot of good information from the participation, of course, with Barn and Glue, and that is hot off the press just right now. So, Sam, I know you got another question that you wanted to jump into, so forgive me for interjecting.
Well, you can interject anytime.
You're a little hot. If you can stand back a little bit.
I'm just along for the ride, Dad. So what are some effective ways churches can provide a great guest experience for online guests? I know that we still have a large segment of people that are tuning in online. I'd say about 65% of our people have returned at this point, but you know, a third of them have yet to return. So can you help me, like, what can my church do with online guests?
Great question. I'm passionate about this. I actually spoke at the Church Online Summit and was speaking about this. And that is, if you remember the Avatar movie, one of the things that the blue people, the Avatar people did to each other that was custom and in their culture is they would look into each other's eyes and say, I see you, I see you. And one of the things that I said at the Church Online Summit is when you get together and you gather together again, and you're so happy and excited to be back, regathered, seeing in a physical capacity, seeing your congregation face to face, keep in mind that 70 or 60 are like in Sam's case, 35% of the people are not there in the room. So I always tell pastors, when you stand up to greet your congregation, say, you know, hey, it is so great to see you guys today. And for those of you watching online, we are so glad you tuned in. It's to acknowledge them, to say, I see you, welcome. We're so glad you tuned in. I don't want my mom to be shamed or diminished in any way because she's been through breast cancer. I want her to know that she's welcome when she tunes in to her online broadcast. I had a week where I attend a small Baptist church plant, maybe 50 to 60 people on a good day. They've been highlighted a lot by the South Carolina Baptist Convention and do a lot of stuff with them as a multi-ethnic church and been doing some cool stuff, but they're still very small. However, they started back meeting and were meeting for a few weeks, and then the pastor and the pastor's wife and his son and his cousin got COVID. They shut down, and then they opened back up and started meeting again. And one week I went to go tune in to watch Facebook Live, and it wasn't there. They didn't turn on the camera and they weren't streaming. And I'm sitting at home thinking, wow, am I not important? Can I not watch the service? And so I had to talk to them about that. And so this past week when I logged in, they were streaming and they were back on Facebook Live. But we don't want to forget those that do not feel ready to come back out yet or don't feel comfortable or have serious health issues. But for those people, a couple of things. One, acknowledge them, say we're glad you're tuning in today. Two, introduce yourself. You have a global audience when you start streaming online. And so there's so many times I've seen this over the years as a secret shopper where a pastor will stand up and start to preach. And I'm thinking, is he the youth pastor? Is he the missions pastor? Is he a teaching pastor? Is he the lead pastor? Is he a guest pastor? So to stand up and to say, hi, I'm Greg Atkinson, and I'm one of the pastors here, or I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. And just let people know, because you have people tuning in that stumbled across your church online for whatever reason. They stumbled across your broadcast, and they may be in the same city, or they may be in the same state, or they may be across the country, but they want to know who you are. And so to introduce yourself, especially when you have hosts and different people that come up and make announcements and people that do a welcome, and you know, just to be able to say, hey, I'm Bobby and I'm the youth pastor here, and I want to welcome you this morning to First Baptist so-and-so. And so to introduce yourself, if you have a chat feature, if you have the ability to have chat and to have people comment, to encourage that and to encourage people to let you know where they're viewing from, just to try to be as interactive as possible. I remember years ago, this is well over a decade ago, Lynn Sweet in his writing used to talk about epic worship experiences, experiential, participatory, image-driven, and connective epic experiences. And so we want to be as interactive as possible. And that includes just saying something as simple as, where are you tuning in from? Let us know where you're watching from. Type it in the comments. And letting them feel that they're just as important, even though they're watching the camera.
Well, we're going to have to wrap this up. This has been a lot of good information, Greg, a lot of practical tips. Once again, we refer you to the show notes where you can see his newest book, Hospitality Ministry, the book that we're offering, Secrets of a Secret Shopper, to the first five who said, love the interview with Greg. And then information on the First Impressions Conference. So thank you again, Greg, for being here. And thank you for sharing this information. And Sam, I'll let you close her out.
Yeah, I want to thank Tyndale as well. They're one of the sponsors of the show and love working with them. Want to tell you about kind of a unique work they have. It involves Eric Peterson. And when Eric Peterson became the pastor of a brand new church, he quickly sought the guidance from his dad, Pastor Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message and 30-plus books. And the intimate correspondence that followed between father and son is captured in this book, Letters to a Young Pastor. And reading the book is like being personally mentored by Eugene as he reflects on pastoral ministry and all its complexity. In turn, Eric then wrote Letters to a Young Congregation, his collection of honest and convicting letters written to his growing church. It addresses the essential questions every pastor wants their church members to answer. So you can read the first letter of each book at letterstoayoungpastor.com. And obviously, Dad, with us working together, I can certainly relate to Eric and Eugene and the relationship that they have. So this is something you want to go check out, letterstoayoungpastor.com. Thanks again.
Great for our audience too, Sam.
Yes. Yes.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thanks. You're my dad. You're allowed to do that. But for you listeners, thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app. Join us online as well at churchanswers.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.
Greg, thank you so much.